Okay, I'm here, as where even, where all good people should be every so often, with the green brailer, is it?
Yeah,
it's the green brailer.
It's not quite, I've got a lean, mean brailing machine.
That's what though. A brailer sounds like, so an old fashioned thing. A, B, C, D, E, and so on and so forth. And it makes a noise when it gets to the end of the line.
The noise definitely isn't as groovy as my lean, mean brailing machine.
Oh, yeah, you've got an embosser now. And this is Ben, who you know from previous audio booze. And he's at university now. Well, he's not at university now, he's here now, clearly. And he's playing some cool jazz. No, he's not. He's playing some classical music for us.
Maximally smooth transitions, which is where you start with a triad, and then you're allowed to move any component of that triad by one semitone to make another triad, and you're allowed to use any inversion you want. So the transition is in C minor,
yeah,
then A flat major, A flat minor, E major, E minor, back to C major.
Oh,
and I've tried improvising using maximally smooth transitions, but it's very difficult, particularly if you're concentrating on keeping in time.
Yeah.
Is that a piece, or is that something you've had to make up so that you can practice your...
I'm just making it up.
Okay. On the fly.
Yes, on the fly.
On the fly. So what have you other things have you learned? So what's... give us an example of something you've learned to incorporate into a piece and that has enhanced your playing since you've been at university studying.
Well, that's the main thing, really, apart from that's the main thing for tonal music. What I have done is weird avant-garde stuff. I haven't got any bits with me, but for example, we would have a piece, on one occasion we had a piece of music called Winter Music by John Cage,
yeah,
where we would have chords to play at random intervals, and it required quite a lot of work because you had to figure out what chords you were going to play before the actual performance. And I'm trying to remember my chords. You had to use bits of rubber to hold down the keys you would need.
Okay.
So you wouldn't use the sustain pedal, but because I haven't got any rubbers to hold down the harmonic, so
yeah.
So one of my chords.
Oh my word!
I had some nice ones as well.
That's shocking.
I had some nice ones as well.
That's nice.
Was another one high up the compass like that. Another improvisation technique is just to move one note at a time.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
else have you got to tell us and that's been happening musically for you? It's like you should, are you practicing loads, so can you can you get all around the keyboard now?
I've got some Brahms.
Find that the mobility is a, like around the keyboard is a problem, given that you can't see the notes so well, or is that just
it's practicing well, as I get more advanced, it gets difficult. For example, in this bit, it's rather hairy.
Yeah. I saw it. Do you think you move around? Has anyone ever given you any feedback about that?
And the organ I play very pianistically as well.
But I mean, you move around a lot. Your body moves, and you look over to the one side. Are you actually got a stage where you stop looking for the notes, or do you kind of do both?
I don't like looking at the keyboard at all, and I discourage that.
I suppose. To reiterate, then, ordinary
people would have their eyes on the music. You see.
Yeah. But as a visually impaired person, though, do you find that you're still finding it hard to get to the notes as quickly as you'd want to as you get more advanced?
No, I think the only frustration I have is people who started before me, because I think I started quite late.
You did, actually, yeah. To be fair.
So the people nabbed it, who got the neck the first time round, who were the same age as me or younger than me, but it's more technically able, and they're the people who frustrate me.
But I think you could do it. I mean, you obviously are dedicated. I mean, no, you wouldn't play that lightly. I mean, most people can't even begin to do what you're doing there. So I'm trying to think when you started playing. It was when you went to Worcester, weren't it? So it must have been like 11 or 12 or something. So it's not exactly a long time, is it? The sort of 6 years that you are. Almost 5 years, 6 years, being 19, 18 now. So. All right then. So are you firmly ensconced in the kind of classical thing, or have you kind of branched out like to any jazz or any other kind of stuff, any popular standards, any Gershwin,
I started learning some Gershwin from my grade 8, but I never did it.
Because some of it's quite challenging, I'd say.
Like that.
Yeah, man, I love that. I like that. That's more me, that is, I have to say. I like a lot of the jazz standards and that, I must say, and a lot of the ballady stuff. But it's kind of hard to get your fingers around. Yeah. All right, I'm going to pause for a sec. Oh, go on then. Should play with the organ sound? Well, you haven't got the stops in it. Scary. Sounds like something's gonna, a mouse is gonna come out and get me from the outside of the organ. The mouse organ, church mouse, is gonna come and attack me from behind with a big piece of cheese. So, what's your favourite organ piece at the moment?
I've been playing the Edmondson Toccata on Von Himmelhoch, which starts with a lot of material where I've had people say, "What does that sound like slowed down?" And it's and so it's just
wow.
And so then eventually you get the feeling in the pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
Next bit.
Green on the organ at Liverpool Cathedral, 2022.
But the
recorded.
See, I don't understand. Right, you did all that quicker than you were doing the. Is it because of the distance between the notes and where you were stretching? Well,
they were quite conjunct.
Yeah,
most of the time. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But the great thing about those last chords is you would have notes at this pitch going on.
Oh my goodness! And like someone drilling the road.
So
it's like.
So
yeah.
8 foot, 16 foot, 32 foot.
Was that?
Oh, did.
Yeah.
You, yeah. Blimey.
That's the thing to this whole business of determining what is the best key. Because this key is really rich. I love it.
Pieces at the moment, what's one piece that's kind of that makes Ben go into his kind of his ideal world, you know, where you kind of, if you wanted to get away from stuff for a bit and be
probably the Edmondson, but because I'm on Bach project next term, I've got Pascali in C minor as well.
Yeah, but that's not purely, I don't mean just because of work, I mean just because of study, I mean a piece that at the moment says to Ben, oh, this is where I want to be for a bit, just for my own relaxation or my own, you know.
Well, to listen to something, I would probably listen to something like the tuba tune by Norman Cocker, which I haven't started learning, but because it's such an, it's very difficult to learn pieces just because I want to learn them.
Yeah.
Because I get organ tuition as part of my tuition fees, I just want to advance technically as much as possible. So for example, I've got this fugue, which is one of the hardest pieces of 19th century organ music.
What's your learning process at the moment then, like how would you start to, I know you see Sibelius and that, but is that to break down the track so you can listen to them, or you're reading music?
It's for me to compose, really.
Okay, so are you reading like Braille music or
No, I'm reading print music with my new gadget,
the big magnifying glass,
the I Love You More 7 from Humanware.
It's called an I Love You More 7.
The I Love You More, it stands for intelligent low viewing, and the 7 is because it's got 7-inch display, and the more is because it's in HD, which enables me to see projector slides for the first
time. Oh no, HD, that was the thing. Because I'm thinking I might get an iPad for the same kind of for the same kind of reasons.
So what I've, on the piano, this works where I can just attach, because the Isle of View's got a stand on it. I've tried putting a piece of string or elastic around my face and attaching the I love you, so I've got both hands free being able to look at the music at the
same
time.
You need it on a mount from your chin, so that it was far enough away for you to actually access it as you would
actually breathe.
Yeah, well, that's it, because then you get all the misty up on the screen, wouldn't you?
Yes, and your eyes get incredibly tired because you can't take your eyes.
Do you know what? You know what's going to benefit you, I think, is I bet when they do this sort of this heads up stuff, you know, when they'll have like glasses with stuff in it. Yes. I wonder if
that's what I need, really. The I love you is far too heavy on the face, and
it doesn't look great.
And you have to, there's no on-off switch that you can get to quite easily. So
you look like a modern day miner sometimes when you get that magnifying glasses, because all I see is a big light shining at me.
Yeah, it's got a great big LED light on the back. Yes, and when I'm looking at projector slides, I have to turn the LED light off, because at that distance it doesn't really have much of an impact.
Yeah. And then people behind you are saying,
so you don't blind other people.
I might be needing to get some help from the specialist unit at the university, because I too have lost my eyesight due to your glaring LCD.
But on the organ, some organs I've played, that doesn't seem to work, because even on the far viewing mode, the music desk is too far away for the I love you.
They've got a way to go yet, haven't they?
So you end up with a really fuzzy picture, which really does hurt your eyes. Or my eyes.